Commissioners Court for Monday, October 13th, 2025, at 9 o'clock a.m. begins here.
All right, this is a meeting of the Franklin County Commissioners Court on the 13th of October, 2025, 9 o'clock here in the courthouse in Auburn, Texas. We'll start with the invocations. Scott, do some work.
Sure. Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the country we live in, Lord, the state we live in, the county we live in. We thank you for all of our neighbors, families, and friends, Lord. We're blessed to be here. And God, I thank you for the gentlemen on this court. Lord, God, I pray that you bless us as we take care of the county's business today. Give us wisdom and understanding in all the choices and decisions we make. And Lord, we pray that we bring praise and glory to you in all we do. Lord, we lift up special prayers today, Lord, for the situation over the Middle East, Lord God, this day that these hostages could be released and all the stuff's going on in the Middle East with our allies over there. We pray for peace. Peace of Israel. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Pledge of U.S. flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas. One state under God, one and indivisible.
All right, thank you. Let me see. Place for public comments, but I think there's going to be some on the agenda item, so if you want to talk during that agenda item, just raise your hand and let's talk about that. I think we've got some voters stuff that has come up. Elections. So does anybody else want to speak? All righty. Just raise your hand whenever you want to hear your items. Let's go to agenda item number one. Consider and take action to approve the minutes from September 22nd, 2025 regular session and October 3rd, 2025 special session.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second. Okay, got a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number two, audit claims against the county and authorize their payments. Paris?
The amount submitted for your approval is $320,531.15.
Okay, any questions over the items?
I'm moving to pay the claims against the county.
Second.
Okay, a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number three, monthly reports.
September monthly report, constable $150. Tax assessor $752.09. Property taxes $14,262.95. County clerk $22,748.68. District clerk $21,294.10. Justice of the peace $27,157.70. Sheriff's Office Commissary, $6,181.50. Treasurer's Third Quarter Fees, $6,265.20. Library, $534.50. Interest earned at 4.04%, $29,802.72.
All right, any questions?
Motion.
I move to approve the motion.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number four, consider and take action to approve the posting in the newspaper the notice of accepting bids for coal, fuel, and road materials for 2026. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Just need a motion on that one.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it.
May I make a comment?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Not knowing the exact order that you go, but.
Speak anytime.
I think it's important to know that in some of our materials that we'll be securing for road repairs before, we're looking at average increases about 18% in those materials. So, what that means to the public is that the money that we have is roughly 18%. Less material than what we buy, and that's probably not including transportation costs, which are consistently going up. So what I'm saying is we're going to be paying more money for less material to fix our roads. It's just that simple. So just
Every year.
And it happens.
That's been the case for sure the last 3 years too. Sandy going up every year.
Yeah. I just want to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you. No, you speak at any time you'd like. Number five, consider take action to approve road use agreement for precinct 2. Have you got that in yet, or you finally got it in?
This one, yes.
Okay. So I'll leave it at that. Would you like to?
Well, no, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. The first one we need to table. But okay. They do not have yet.
Okay, she got notes here for that.
So I'm moving to table it.
Okay, second. Got a motion to table item number five. And we got a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Number six, consider and take action to approve road use agreement for precinct 2 with Southwest Operating. Now you got that.
Yeah, they've got it. There's coming in off of, it's the one that's already there, and they had we had an agreement with them back when they first moved in, and it had run out of date, so it had expired, so we renewed it and done a regular road use agreement.
And what county road is that?
4115, and they're only coming in off of the 21 end. They can't come in off the interstate.
How much are they agreeing on?
They've got a bond for $500,000 for a mile and a quarter, about a mile and two tenths of a road.
Okay, with the prices going up on everything, shouldn't you go up on your bond?
Well, we probably have to discuss that. Just, we didn't know when they started this that the prices on the material was going to go up like they have. If they started on this 2 months ago trying to get this done.
So you're going to hold it to $500,000 or are you going to try to get more?
Well, we'll just have to discuss that. We've got it figured that it cost us, what was it, Scott, $270,000 a mile.
Pretty close to it.
So we'll probably have to look at that again and see what that'll go up. And then we may have to adjust that part of it on the bottom side.
Okay. You want to approve this? Or?
You want to make that
motion? Yeah.
I'll make that motion to approve it.
Second. Okay, got a motion and second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Number seven, consider and take action to approve the assignment agreement of private activity bond authority with the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs. Now, let me explain this one.
Yeah. For sure.
Thanks. About a year and a half ago, I had a ex state senator. He's no longer state senator, but he's over this housing authority. And we kind of had some words back and forth. His name is Richard Anderson, if y'all know. But I told him I had questions about it, and he kind of started back. He said, we helped Franklin County and gave y'all a lot of money to build
Logan's Point.
Logan's Point. I said, you didn't help us, believe me, that didn't help. So me and the Titus County judge, were the only two that kind of held out for a long time, because I said, you know, I don't know if it's government housing kind of stuff. I said, this is for Bowie County, by the way. This is for Bowie County. So I told Mr. Anderson, I said, when I talk to the Bowie County judge, and if he's okay with this, then I'll sign it. Or I'll take it to Commissioner's Court and we'll sign it. So after about a year and a half or so, maybe even longer than that, I don't know, Kent Cooper over, he called me and said, did he get a hold of you? I said, I talked to him and I said, I'll have the Bowie County judge, the Bowie County judge did call me and he said, if you won't mind, would y'all sign this? Because there's a lot of people in this one community, wherever it's at in Bowie County, that's really looking forward to this. I said, if you're okay with it, then I'm okay with it, and I'll take it to the commissioner's court. But that's what it's about. It's about a government housing deal, and everybody in that Cog region must sign it. If they don't, they don't get it. So,
but this is not obligating us, accept anything from the HFC,
Judge Newsom is on this board. Okay. Judge, ex Red River County judge, retired. He's still on that board. I talked to him about it at one of the ATCOG meetings about it, and I told him as soon as the Bowie County judge called me, then I'd be okay.
So that was the only thing. Obviously, the HFC in here, the Housing Finance Corporation, is a nonprofit organization that does this kind of stuff.
Yes.
So, and since I just don't want us to. No, I bet it's going to be like, well, we do something and if they know
we start having something like that pop up. I mean, if it's going to help another county that's wanting to do it, that's fine, but we're not, as long as we're not obligated, and that, and Landon's reviewed all that, so you can say that's where we are.
Yes, and he's okay with it, and we're not obligated in any way, except for a signature. So, I told him I would now put it after almost 2 years, probably maybe more than 2 years, I don't know. But it took him that long.
So, I know the language in this one says that we're not financially obligated or any of it. I'm just, at the same time, it's just...
It's just that everybody in that COG region must sign it before they can get it. And we've held that for a long time. You can make your phone call. All right, do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the assignment of the private activity bond authority to Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs.
Okay, we've got a motion and second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. All right, number eight. Consider and take action to approve interlocal agreement with the City of Mount Vernon for the Mount Vernon Fire Department. I talked to our county attorney this morning. He said he got it at 1 o'clock Friday. Y'all hadn't had time to look over it, and he's been extremely busy this weekend. He has not. He's told us to table it once again.
I'm going to table that.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and second to table item number eight. Is there any discussion? Excuse me, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Number nine, consider and take action to approve ADCOG interlocal agreement for E911 services and PSAP equipment. Ricky, you got anything on that?
No, sir. No, you got anything on that? We're just waiting on y'all to approve it. We got it. Y'all remember a while back I asked for some money to redo the south, what I call the south picket, to move dispatch down to there because of the... Well, where we're at now, have been since the facility was built, we're having some plumbing issues. So they've lost the restroom, so whatever dispatch needs to go to the bathroom, they have to go to one end of the building or the other. It's kind of hard for them to be away from 911. Anyway, that picket has a restroom in it, plus it's a little bigger. The grant is for the communication consoles. It's upgrading us to a digital system. I've been working several years now to upgrade all the radios in the county. It works fairly good at times as long as all the computers are up and going. Lightning's been my worst nightmare this past year. And tornadoes. But this is the last kind of phase of that upgrade. Getting the communication equipment, I think this is about $80,000, I believe, for the two consoles.
I don't have one question about Sheriff, but I was just looking at the original attachment A, probably just a misprint or something, but it says the RPC hereby establishes all 911 equipment located at Clarksville Police Department in Franklin County. Is that set? It's going to be establishes all 911 equipment located at Clarksville Police Department, Franklin County. Is it just a misprint, so if you're in River County, or is that just my misreading man?
I don't know why that's in the
right. Be honest. This is to be the property of architects, council of governments here, and it's just one of the attachments.
So. No, it's not where we transfer that. We transfer to Wood County, don't we?
When our system goes down, we transfer to Wood. Now, Red River County, if their system goes down, they transfer to us.
And that may be what's talking about. Is they, we all have fail-safe backups, right, where they transfer to us, we transfer to Wood.
So our 911 is actually situated.
It's in our building.
It's in our building.
That's why I've been with it.
And I thought that might just been somebody just put Franklin County instead of Red River.
No, they do transfer to us whenever theirs goes down, if they lose phones like we do every now and then.
So, yes, sir. Speaking of that, Sheriff, public safety answering point, that really just referring to the system and the offices set up to answer those 911 incoming calls?
PSAP, that's every county has one. Sometimes some of them are city police departments. My parish is going to piece out. That's the original, that's where 911 is situated at. And then they push out the 911 calls from there. We're the piece out for Franklin County.
So that's basically the terminus for the information coming?
Yes.
Yeah. You take it in.
We take it in.
Cr- coordinates with the other 911 districts.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Now, we're the hub for Franklin County, and this, so that's what the terminology they use to name that facility is PSAP.
I need to really ask this, I guess, of the county attorney. Does the state law allow us to enter multi-year contracts without paying for them at the, you know what I'm saying? If you have a multi-year contract that is for $300,000, do we have to appropriate all that $300,000 in the year that we give the multiple issues of the contract, or can we do it 100,000 increments?
I believe you would need to ask the county attorney about all of your.
It would be according, in accordance with whatever the agreement says. If we can make payments on it per year, then it's okay.
But in the past, we've been allowed to do multi-year contracts.
Yes.
I come from city government, and they don't do that.
Yes, I know.
This is.
As long as it's addressed in the agreement.
Okay.
To do it.
And you always put a clause that's contingent upon funding being made.
And you can do that as well.
And does Architects provide the training when you get a new 911 guy? Do they do it, Ricky, or do you?
911 comes in and trains if there's training needs. Sometimes it's not that big of an upgrade, it's not much needed. Sometimes it's complete upgrade and they do training.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Anybody else? Do you have a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Second. Okay, got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. The ayes have it. Item 10, consider and take action to approve a resolution for 2026 Indigent Defense Grant Program. This is Texas Government Code Section 79.037, Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 170. The counties are eligible to receive grants from the Texas Indigent Defense Commission to provide improvements in Indigent Defense Service in the county, whereas the grant program will assist the county in implementation of the improvement, whereas the Franklin County Commissioners Court has agreed that in the event of loss or misuse of funds, Franklin County Commissioners assures that the funds will be returned full to the Texas Indigent Defense Commission. Now therefore be it resolved and order the county judge of this county to designate an authorized official to apply for, accept, apply, modify, or cancel the grant application and form the grant program and all necessary documents to accept for this is our regular and yearly Indigent Defense.
in essence, what that means is it offsets some of our court appointed attorneys.
Yes.
for the criminal side.
I move we approve the resolution for the 2026 Indigent Defense Grant Program.
Second. Okay, got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. Number 11, consider and take action to approve road repair settlement from Sedgwick Claims. That's you.
That's just where, back in the summer, Harris, they were trimming electric lines on 3250 down in Cypress. And they had a track machine on a road and they tore it up, and that's on the 18th of a mile. We did this $21,000 after depreciation. They gave me $19,460.32. So we just wanted to see what we're through court. But I've already got the check and they put it in my account. So.
Money has been received.
Yeah.
So, I move we approve the settlement for claims.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Number 12, consider and take action to approve the regroup mass notification subscription agreement. Max.
Good morning. Mass notification systems are something we never need, but it's just something that we have to have. And we need it for liability. There's two main problems with mass notification systems. Number one is they don't work like they're supposed to, or they are so unuser-friendly that we just can't get things out that we need to. And the second half of that is a lot of times people just ignore it when they get one. So currently our situation is with OnSub, our current system is called Code Red, and Judge Zinn and Joe can both attest to you, it is not user friendly. we have challenges trying to get IT assistance. It's just not working very well for us. Since the floods in Texas, down south, that life was lost, the FEMA's looking at their IPAL system, and what that stands for is the Integrated Public Alert and Warning System. And we started getting Joe and I thinking about what we use here in Franklin County and how things go. So since the floods down there, we've been inundated with emails with people that's got a new system that wants us to buy their system and do this and do that. And we've waded through tons of those. And we finally found one that I wanted to present to you that we think works very, very well. Red River County actually uses this. My counterpart, Jake Crockett, came over and gave Joe and I a demonstration. I'm gonna give you a little short synopsis of how that works. I've spoke with the city of Del Rio, Roanoke, Snyder, Goliad County, Huntsville, Alabama, Trophy Club, Texas, out of close to Fort Worth, Chambers County, Texas. No better use. They all use that. They were tickled to death with what they had. Some of the things that worked well for us in Regroup that Jake showed us was we have access to our active list of subscribers. Code Red, I have to request that, and they may or may not give it to me. But when you sign up, we can look on there and find out who all signed up and who did that. We can create groups to send out mass notifications to law enforcement, to EMS, to fire departments. If we have a missing person or if we have a suspect we're looking for, we can send everything out just to law enforcement. We can set up to anybody we want to set that up to. We have the ability through Regroup to talk to each other and give live updates. If we found a child that was missing or a missing person, or if we found a suspect, we can tell everybody, hey, we got them. You know, quit wasting time doing that. As commissioners, if you guys want to tell the people in your precinct that, hey, I'm working on this road, this bridge is out, Highway 37 is closed because Sulphur's flooded, we just put a little group in there, we fix that group and send it out to those people and they know. Something that Jake did that I had never thought of before is he set up a group for his people with hospice and the elderly group where he could send them a text and we can't talk, but you can say, are you okay? Respond one for yes, two for no. And if we get a two back, then we send somebody to check on them and see what happens. We could just, numerous things we can use this for with the ability to get out to people right away. If we have a burn ban, if we have whatever, we can let people know, we can let everybody know or specific groups to know. You can communicate just with the county employees if you have something important that we needed to know. You set your group up. It attaches to our social media pages if we want to so do that. And let's make sure I didn't miss anything. No. I didn't listen to call so far.
I'm with you.
Now
that's the end, because all of these good things that we're able to do, we have the ability to send a picture. Well, we didn't have a picture before, so if we're looking for somebody, we can send out that picture and let everybody know. That was one thing I forgot on that. Now the cost, let's look at the cost. Out of my budget, it's about $7,930 a year for Code Red. And it doesn't work for us very well. I have a quote here from Regroup that it's $3,500 a year, or they gave us an option for $5,030, a three-year contract, which that saves us just under $19,000 over the 3 years. Not to mention all the other things that it'll do for us and get it done. And if you guys want to take a look at that and go with it, Jake said he would come over any day that y'all were willing, and he would give you a little demonstration. He had his iPad, and let's say we had a tornado that is sweeped through an area. He takes his iPad, draws a circle around that area, and pushes a button, and it notifies all those people that are in that area that are signed up. So the rig rip, I got no bad reviews from anybody that's using it so far. I'm coming to you with a little bit of savings, I hope, you know, where everything else is costing money. But I certainly recommend this. Joe recommends this. I've talked with the sheriff. He was in there for a little while and looked at that. It's a good program, and I think we ought to take a chance on it.
How soon, if they agree to sign the agreement, how soon can they have you up and running?
I'm sorry?
How soon can they have you up and running if they were to sign the agreement?
Almost immediately is what he told us.
Awesome.
Do we have a contract still with Code Red?
We do, and we have 60 days to let them know we're going to do it, and that runs out in December. So yeah. We're within our time to let them know they're gone.
How hard is it to implement it, get everybody that's Code Red on this right here?
I'm sorry?
How hard is it to get the people that are on Code Red that doesn't work very well onto this?
All those that are currently subscribed with Code Red are automatically moved over into Reaper.
Code Red sent us a list. We sent it to Joe. Joe sent it to the people. They have it ready to go if we go with them. They just put them in, and then we'll get out on our webpage and let it be known this is how you sign up. And we can go from there.
Max, are you comfortable with the the limit of 80,000 total message annually?
I think so.
Okay. And then, of course, if we exceed that number, then they're going to charge us for that, right? That 80,000 messages?
No. No, our contract comes under, we pay them the 5,000, we're unlimited, is what we're going to send out. Okay. And we have the ability to send out the IPAWS. If FEMA puts out something, then they're on the list as approved that we can send those out if we want to.
Well, I was just looking under their material, and it kind of confusing. It said they'll charge for users added that are in excess of the total number of the total users included in your membership.
Yes, and he told us that. The what's his name? Jeff? Brandon? One of the guys, we asked him that question when he was on there giving us our demonstration. He said we're contracted under who we have as our population, and that we're not going to be charged for anything over that unless our population goes up and they change that.
Okay, so I know what you're saying. I got it.
That was one question that Joe asked is about mass notifications. How many times can we use it? And he told us unlimited at our price.
And the renewal increase, they said, is limited to 3.5% annually. So,
well,
we will expect some increase next year if we go with it.
On my email, he told me, because I asked him, I said, now at the end of the 3 years, if we go with you, will we have an option to do another 3-year contract? And he said, yes, he would put that into what we signed, would have that option. Now, I don't have a clue how much that would go, more than the $3,500 a year, or what they would offer us. But
you might check into that night. So they're saying renewal increase can be limited to 3.5% annually. If we're looking at a 3-year term, that's 3.5% for 3 years.
Right. So,
but it's better than what we have now. Okay.
Well, right. As soon as we're adjourned today, I will get him back on the phone, the representative, and I will ask those questions. We will know before lunch.
All right, anybody else? All right, what's your pleasure?
Please approve.
Okay, I've got a motion to second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Trying to keep signatures all the way. Number 13, consider take action to approve 2026 holiday calendar. We put Columbus Day and get away with one of the Christmas Day.
Well, there's 2 days together at Christmas still. Okay. We only change that during when Christmas falls in the middle of the week.
Yes, okay. So it's the same except for that.
So it's just changed back to the original.
Yeah. Okay. Motion on that.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. The ayes have it. Number 14.
finally got down to you today. Consider and take action to approve agreement to contribute funds to the Sulphur River Basin Authority. Dave, you're up, and I told Dave to come because we tabled this last time, and I told him I would have Dave to come up and explain this a little bit better.
No formal presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions y'all might have. Y'all have been funding partners with us for the last five years, and we're asking for y'all to consider that renewal, and again, I'll answer any questions y'all might have.
And this has nothing to do with supporting the Absolutely. New lay. It has nothing to do with that. Let's make it clear. We approved in the budget, correct?
The money is in the budget.
So we did fund for that, but before we signed it, we wanted to come to y'all and let them answer any questions. So.
Sulphur Basin is one of the most prolific basins in the state as far as where water is. Water is in the news lodge here about the data center and all these different things. They're going to be using more water. And us being involved and having some say over how that water is put to use is a very important thing for Northeast Texas to have. And we have the product other places have the need. And so us being involved in that, it is state water. And it can just happen to you. We don't want it to be happening to it. We want it to involve the citizens of Northeast Texas to make sure that our citizens derive benefit from this natural resource that we have in the area. Marvin Nichols is one part of that, but it's definitely not the whole thing. We also do the water quality monitoring in the basin. We have multiple stations that are tested under the Clean Rivers Program. And also we're pursuing some flood infrastructure grant. We actually got invited by the Water Development Board to go ahead and submit a formal grant on that long jam study that I came to y'all probably 6 months ago. But that Water Development Board does not move quickly. But we did get invited to go ahead and do that. We're taking proposals for the consultant on that at this time to submit that application. So that's another thing that we're doing for the basin. It's just a good thing to be involved upfront, and the financial participation is how we are able to do that.
What I was talking about today, have y'all been involved in any of what they're doing on the cleanup now? But they said that the ranch up there is doing a lot.
Yeah, nothing yet. Like I said, we're in the planning stage of it. What you saw on 37 is going to be TxDOT's basically maintenance part where they remove the log jam and come up against the bridge on 37.
I don't know how far back it's that way now.
71 in Delta County as well, you know. There were multiple log jams caused by the rechannelization accordion back in the 30s.
They don't look like long is going to be rerouting them back a different way.
Cutting deeper and until they, you know, that's part of what this study is to start to developing is how are we going to address those siltation and log jam issues that come from that rechannelization process that was done by the Corps back in the 30s.
Anybody else?
Let the record show that I'm not voting on this. There's no conflict of interest, but just in the interest of total transparency, I'm a past president of one of the districts that is the primary funder for Sulphur River Basin Authority. So,
okay. All right. Thank you. All right. What's your pleasure, guys?
I'm going to approve the agreement.
Second. Okay. Got a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor say aye. All opposed, yes.
Thank you for coming. Appreciate your support. Don't hesitate to reach out if you have any questions or concerns.
Thanks, Dave. All right, bye-bye. Number 15, consider and take action to approve professional services agreement between Tyler Technologies Incorporated and the Franklin County Clerk for the Revolution Data Systems Historical Case Import.
Okay. You're all aware that we did the agreement with Revolution to image and preserve my old case, some of my old case records. They're the ones who redid our Bible for us. I now want to integrate those records into our current case management system, which is through Tyler Technologies. This amount that they have submitted to us is $11,840. Integrating it into the system, to me, is critical. It gives us, as well as
the public and our citizens better access to these records. Currently the cases are all off-site, but normally they're out in the storage building, they were in boxes, not all in order, like, you know, just over the years, things in this. So when we get all this, it's all gonna be there, we can have it integrated. This money will come out of my records retention, which can only be used for things such as this. That's what we collect that money for. So I'm just asking for y'all's blessing and approval on this today so that they can get started. Revolution is almost done. And they're to the point of indexing. That will then be translated over to Tyler and they will integrate it into our system.
All right, anybody got any questions?
Brooke?
Yes, sir.
This is actually part of an ongoing process?
This is, yes, for this part. We had Revolution Data Systems out of Dallas. They came and picked up my old probate and criminal records that had not been imaged and preserved yet. I had a little over 4,000 total cases that they're working on. And this is just to take that information and put those indexes and images into our current case management system.
Which is, of course, the preservation is required by state law, right?
Well, we have a fund that is allowed by state law, and that's all that money can be used for, and we do collect it. So projects such as this are important as what for preserving the records, but also creating the access for the public. A lot of times, especially probate, people come back years and years later, especially doing oil and gas research and various things with property rights, and they need easy access to those.
I guess my question is more for them, actually.
Yes.
To let them know this is an ongoing effort and that it is required by law and that it does provide improved access to the public.
Yes, sir.
They can review those records. And the last one is, if we didn't, we'd have to build two or three additional buildings to hold all that paper somewhere.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because this is something that I've talked about, not with this agenda item, but we are to the point, we've already gone paperless on our property records because I'm out of room. We don't have room for more books. Everything is on the computer. I mean, it was all computerized before, but we were still printing book pages and putting it in the book. We stopped that. We don't have any more room, and we're almost there on criminal. That's probably gonna start the first of the year. And probate's the one I'm gonna hold out on the longest. We do have to keep the original wills, no matter if I'm paperless or not, so we will still have to have a file for the probate. So I'm gonna hold out on going paperless on those as long as possible. But everything else, we're headed there very quickly, just because of space.
Everything's going to the cloud. Yeah. I'm still in amazement about the cloud.
I move that we approve the professional services.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? Brooke, I think that you signed
it. I will sign it, yes, sir.
Okay. You got a motion second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Okay, number 18.
16.
What did I say, 17?
18.
Boy, I'm going to get very quick now.
Yeah.
Discuss and conduct a public hearing on implementation of countywide polling places program with Franklin County for the March 2026 primary election. And we will start at 9:38. And Missy, I guess I'll start with you. We have Charlie and Glenda here, our Democrat and Republican chairpersons. So we have several more here. So if y'all have any questions, y'all probably answer them probably as well as better we can, that's for sure. But Missy, I'm gonna let you kind of explain what it is and thing first.
All right, the state has a program called Countywide Polling. It's where you'll be able to vote on election day, just like you do in early voting, where all the ballots will be there at each location. Our county currently has 7,652 registered voters under this program. Under 100,000 registered voters are 63 on the program, and under 10,000 there's 13 participating.
All right. I know we got questions over this. Anybody?
Well, we're going to cut out some precincts.
Sir, you're going to say your name.
Jack. Are we going to have to, are we going to cut out some programs, polling places? Is that part of this effort? We're consolidating some? What is the benefit of that in a county this small?
I will say this, over the years, even way before I was even county judge, people were complaining all the time about, well, I live down here south, but we have to come all the way to Denton Church. That's ridiculous. Why can't I just vote there? And there ought to be a system where we can just, I said, the state has not approved that. We can't do it. You've got to vote. So it just makes it more convenient. I think there's a lot of worry about voter fraud and everything. I don't think that, not in this county, I don't think, in Ballas County, I wouldn't put anything past them or Harris.
Well, see, I had that brought up by Representative Lush, said voter fraud was big on this.
Yes. Well,
and that came from our state representative.
Yeah. But the Republicans also weren't voted to prove this. So,
okay. I'm just asking questions, Scott. That's all I
know. Oh, I know it. And it's good questions. But that to me, you know, people have griped and griped about that over the years, you know, that I've listened to and everything. But
I don't see any problem.
I heard that. I go right down here and vote on the first day.
I don't understand why we need three voting places in Mount Vernon. You know, I don't understand that, but I understand they need one in Winsboro. Hey, it's Fort Scrog and scattered out like that. But why do we really need three in Mount Vernon City?
Within a mile.
Right.
Within a mile.
Yeah.
Well, but you have to consider, you have to have them in the commissioner precinct, so they're dividing those that way.
And then they're scattered out.
And locations of where you can actually have one, because we're strapped for places to hold elections.
Understand that.
So that's... That's why they fall close together in town, because they're so limited on where they
Jason, and y'all may answer this, would that eliminate Denton being a place to vote? Or one of them in South Franklin, since there's two in South Franklin or two in Purley, would that eliminate one of them?
It could. It just...
You know, the places you're talking about eliminating have a lot of elderly. And a lot of elderly from Hagensport are not going to drive anywhere.
Right.
A lot of elderly from Scroggins are not going to drive anywhere.
Right.
So that's one thing I'm asking there. Another question that's been coming up at my barn, and don't ask me why my barn gets all these questions. If you were an election judge at one precinct and they closed that total place, but you're not invited to work somewhere else, how is that going to work? Because these workers don't, I mean, I've seen a certificate y'all pass out in commissioner's court that you are a election judge, but then they're getting left out and not getting to work. But people that don't have that certificate are getting to work on a friendship basis. How does this work?
Preach to the choir, everybody. I'm going to get down there.
Training, correct?
Yes.
So they went to get certified, but they're not getting to do their job.
Well, but there are times that, like this November election, precincts are consolidated, and
right.
That saves the county and the taxpayers money.
Well, I understand that, group, but I'm just saying, where did these people that went to the effort to get certified to be a judge, and then you got somebody sitting there passing out ballots that is not certified? Shouldn't the judge be allowed to have that job instead of Joe Blow off the street?
That depends. That's the election administrators and your party chair's decisions on who works and who fills those roles.
Yeah. Okay.
All of the workers do training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether they're the judge or they're not, they all do training. So they're all qualified. That's my opinion. Now, you can ask Yesi and you can ask your party chairs. But there are some elections that not everybody's going to get to work, especially when precincts are consolidated. There's just not enough spots to go around for everybody.
Well, is this consolidation going further now as far as are we going to do away with these polls on
I don't
March?
Think that's the intent of this countywide polling is not to do away. I mean, that's just like all small elections get consolidated.
Okay, I had someone in this room tell me we could do away and just do 65%.
Who is that someone that told you that? Was it somebody that knows or
yes,
somebody that thinks
yes,
they know?
Yes, no, they know. Said we could do 65% by state law. the first year, is that correct?
Okay, but if you can, doesn't mean you shall, doesn't mean you have to.
The ability is there to do this, to get rid of those poles, correct?
Yes.
When you go countywide?
You could, but that doesn't mean that you're going to.
Okay.
Just to clarify, law does say 65% the first year, then if it's approved to continue with it, you can go down to 50% every year thereafter. That's what the law does say.
And let me say, this is just a public hearing today. We're not going to vote on this today. This is just kind of getting y'all's input on what y'all, you know, I told Charlie, have everybody show up. I said, we're here to listen. So if y'all have something to say, I looked at it years ago and I look at everybody that's been honest and truthful, and you wouldn't think that, you know, it's how it's going, but I do. And I just don't, I see where this personally over the years that this would kind of be helpful when, you know, if you're living a part of the county, you got to drive 15 miles and you can drive 2 miles instead of voting at one spot and everything. But that's just my opinion and everything. I just don't see the voter fraud in Franklin County. I just don't see it. It's you know, I sit here and watch two ladies count together as Democrat and Republican sit for, my gosh, 8 hours probably or more.
We give it for 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
We give it for 3 days.
And the chances for fraud are no more than them going to vote early and then trying to go vote on election day. It's going to show they voted.
Yeah.
So if they go vote in 101 and then they try to go vote at 402, it's going to show they voted, whether it's during early voting or on election day. That system is going to automatically say that person has voted.
Now, 1960, you bet. That'd have been easy to cheat on something like that.
Yeah.
Everything's so electronic. If you vote once, you're done. I mean, it's going to show.
I think it's less chances than it was with the pen and paper and the books you stamped, because that as soon as that person's checked in and signed, they're done. That shows they voted.
You know, I'm one. I didn't run for this office. I'm not going to run for this office. I want to get that out, Charlie, so everybody can understand. I'm not running for this office, but as a husband of a judge that works these elections, her health did not allow her to continue. But what I heard from her is that, you know, it's really tough to get people, judges to work these elections. I mean, they go through an extraordinary effort to get these folks to agree to work and then train them. So I've seen that consistently year after year, and I can tell you, after living in the Metroplex and watching elections there, I never give these a second thought about anything improper happening. I really don't. And there's convenient, much more convenient than me waiting 6 hours in line up in Dallas to get cast my vote. And I've never heard of that. And I also know that if you're handicapped and you can come or be brought to one of these places, these ladies will take an umbrella that's raining and go out and take your vote.
We're fixing that though, Sandy.
I know. I appreciate it.
It's really easy to say it's not going to happen in Franklin County. That's easy to say. But it's also, if you listen to Susan Reeves that used to have the newspaper, we never have a murder in Franklin County. wait a minute, we have to run up there and suffer River Bottom, didn't we? We never have anything like this.
I'd like to have a River Bottom.
You sound like
a little Jim Harbaugh. But to say it never happened for Jackets, no, anything can happen. Exactly. I mean, I'd never say that, but I'm saying my experience has shown that we operate, this county's been operating good, solid, honest elections, convenient elections for years, and I hope they'll continue. We've got to put faith in those folks that are hired to do this job and to do it well. And when they don't, we need to say something. When they do, we need to pat them on the back and say, go for it. Do it. Do the good job. So that's my comment from my standpoint. It's limited.
About election fraud in Franklin County, since the state, or Yessi, I'm not sure if you implemented this, but I think it's a state, we have a seal on everything we get in the morning of election day.
That seal is taken off, written down the number, a new seal is put on once everything is locked. That chain of command paper, which I detest, by the way, but I also know it's very important. And it's completed at night. It's given to the people at the annex when we turn in the ballots, boxes. Everything is on the up and up. We sign, they look at it and make sure that everything, the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and all of the seals are in place with numbers. And it's been verified by two people. And then it's signed off and then we're free to go home after a long day. So election fraud in Franklin County, if every state in the United States had the type of laws that Texas does, we would not have a problem in any election. So I just wanted to commend the chain of command paper that I hate anyway, but that's why we have no election fraud in Franklin County. Or
amen.
The last couple of times, I know that I have to sign off on it, and yes, yes, I think every time I've signed, both the Democratic and Republican chairman are there to be with us.
Okay, I think we got totally off the subject here. We got into a problem when we're talking about losing polling spots for the elderly and stuff of that nature.
And well, I don't think we're not doing away
with it. No, I understand that the farther locations are very valuable for all the voters. I'm just trying to do it for voter convenience.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to do this for voter convenience. Because on election day, just alone at the annex, we can have 80 or more coming in at the wrong place.
Sure.
And then they're turned away, and then they're mad, and they say they don't want to vote. Sure.
Yes. I've actually seen people going out, I'm not going down there to vote. I'm not going to vote.
Or they don't have time to get there. But if they wait until the end of the day, and that's all they
need. Or they don't realize that they can drive a mile down the road right there and vote because that's the voter coming. I've seen it before. You got to go out there. You got to go over here.
I don't think this countywide deal is a problem. I like that idea.
Okay.
But it's the people that have certified to be judges are griping.
Yeah, and we're not changing it this time, correct?
No.
Yeah. I don't think anything's changed. Right. So, did you have something?
Well, I was just going to make a couple of real quick clarifications. Number one, this last election, Glenda and I spent 3 days hand counting ballots because the state required we pull three polls that was required, and they told us which ones. And then there were two other ones, and she and I sat there I've never seen so many paper ballots. We stood there. We did not find one discrepancy out of five boxes. And early voting, we had to count the early voting, the mail-ins, all of those. We did not find one discrepancy between us with it. So I just wanted to clarify. There was no way that there was any fraud at all on that. Back to the judge thing. It is up to the county chairs to submit names to Yezzy as to who we would like to see be the judges for the polls. Sometimes things get moved around other than because that's up to Yezzy's discretion as who she wants to put where pretty much, but it's up to us to agree to the judges.
Sure.
So I just want to clarify that. Now, I have had a question asked, and this is a question we need that. I think people need an answer to. If you go to countywide voting, okay, right now on election day, or even early voting, well, election day, you walk into your poll and you say, I'm 301 or 302, that's the ballot you handed, right? So if we go to this countywide voting, now does every poll have to have 8 individual ballots?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, that's a good question.
You got that box in there.
If they're consolidated, then they would be put on the.
Yeah, you're going to have one. Because not every precinct is going to have the same people on their ballot.
Right.
Yeah, you would have to count for commissioner, precinct, school.
Everything. So you're going to have 8 separate ballots at each location now.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a problem.
That's a lot of printing.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Anybody else got anything?
Well, sometimes I thought, you know, an hourly voting, and I know some of y'all hourly vote, we might have 30 different boxes behind us to pick out of. So.
That wouldn't be anything other than early voting. You would just have to have that at every place. It's just a district one for early voting. It would have to be at every place you vote.
Right. And when you've had a runoff, you don't have to have the same thing probably.
But then you're going to be able to consolidate precincts for a runoff too.
Right. Because yeah. Silver Springs does that now.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got to raise your hand.
Well, I'm trying to think okay. Whether I got this question that you're talking about the different ballots that have to be provided for the different people. But what about counting them? Do you have to have different machines sitting there programmed differently to count them? Or can the machines be programmed?
That's a good idea. That's a good question. How's that work?
I'm looking at it.
How's that work, Jesse?
I'm sorry?
Whenever they put it in the counter, electronic counter, how are they going to tell
those
it?
Counters are programmed.
Well, like Mount Pleasant, I'm pretty sure they go to different counters, to a different machine.
Not the early voting counter. It's programmed to take all the ballots. Each one would be programmed the same way to accept all of the different ballots. And it just breaks it. It knows how to read it as to what precinct it is.
Yeah, all the ballots have a code on them. The machine reads.
So when it goes in, it knows if that
was. And all the poll books let all the workers know what precinct that voter is. We test them beforehand and make sure that it's the appropriate one that's given.
So explain about the ballot on demand, because that's what I was just asking her. As far as having to have all the different ballots at each precinct, they're going.
Currently, right now, with precinct-based, we order through ESNS, our vendor, our pre-printed ballots. But there is a ballot on demand system, so when the voter checks in, then the ballot is printed.
For their precinct.
For their precinct.
Is that something new?
It will be for county. If you have countywide polling. Yes. Okay. So they wouldn't have to have stacks of each different precinct. It would just print the appropriate precinct. And that would even cut down for early voting, having to have all those different, especially when you've got school district, commissioners, the water district, and if you have more than one school district that's got an election going at the same time, because there's lots of times they have way more than 8 ballots. It's like what Debbie was saying. So this will actually simplify early voting for the workers.
I have a question on that. So my home is Wi-Fi. It goes down all the time. I mean, what about all the paper glitches? Are we going to have a backup to the backup for printing these?
I'm sure there will have to be backups and fail safes put into place, just like if all the power goes out, you have to have something to revert back to. That's required by the state. But I'm just saying, as far as the having to have exponential amounts of ballots printed and at each location, in a perfect world, they will be able to just print them as they need them, which could actually even cut down on cost, because you're not left with a bunch of unused ballots at the end of it. It's sometimes hard to order those, isn't it, Issy?
Yes.
All right, good discussion. Anybody else before we close this out? All right, we're gonna close it.
On this one, we got 301 twice. Take it, Deb, it's supposed to be 302?
Deb, are you 302?
No, I just had a couple reach back, but that's what precinct they were in. Because I was trying to grab someone from 302, but she says she's not available.
We'll get back. All right. I'll jump ahead.
Well, yeah. Am I?
Yeah, well, that's the next one.
Okay. I had that one in front of me. That's going on fire.
All right, 9:59, we're going to go ahead and close this. 9:59 a.m., and then we'll adjourn on that. And then number 17. Consider take action to approve the appointment of the Vote Center Advisory Committee for Franklin County Elections. And that would be
You gonna say anything before I read these names out?
Yes, as part of filling the election code on creating the new countywide polling place, we have to have this committee. Basically, they go through and they go through policies and procedures for picking out polling locations that will be used countywide.
Those are one for 302.
I just don't have one for 302.
All right, I will read the names out. 101 Carolyn Galloway, 102 Jack Brooks, 102 Debbie O'Hara, 201 Debbie Long, 301 Betty Crane, 301 Bill Coakley, 401 Courtney Bean, 402 Janet Johnson, Republican Chair Charlie Wilson, Democratic Chair is Glenda Pollock, and County Elections Administrator Yessi. So we need to approve those. And when you do, I'm gonna send it down. Look, we all got signed.
So moved.
Second. Okay, got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Let's get the next one. I'll send it down. Send both this because we gotta get on both of these. Number 18, record Franklin County Elections Part. Oh, I'm sorry. Consider and take action. What?
Joint resolution.
18. Okay, I'm sorry. Recording Franklin. Well, it's just recording Franklin County Election Park Personnel Handbook.
Yeah, that's all you're doing is recording.
What is the joint resolution statistical?
That's way down on 20.
Well, let me just get you signed as a contract. Number one, I'm sorry. I'm just going to order away there.
Oh, sorry.
All right, number 18, record Franklin County Election Park Personnel Handbook. That is so recorded. If y'all want to look over that, and that was a great job. We looked at it the other day,
yeah,
and
every job.
Yes, you did an excellent job on that. Thank you for doing that. Number 19, record the primary election services contract for both the Republican chair and the Democratic Party chair for the county elections officers. Would y'all like to say anything about that? For recording?
We're done.
And number 20, record joint resolution statistical information for the joint party elections to be held on March 3rd, 2026. But we do need signatures on that one, correct? But we're not voting on that. Correct?
No.
Okay. All right, discussion items. Road maintenance issues. Anybody have anything to talk about on road use, or Ricky, anything for the sheriff's department?
Well, I've been on road use or whatever. We're working up there around the annex building trying to get that fixed, the driveway or parking lot or whatever you want to call it.
All of the
our plans are, and we got to kind of discuss it afterwards, but to see where everybody's at. But our plans are tomorrow is to be shooting the oil and chipping there and be done, get it done. I know it's been a process and we've made a mess up there and doing, but maybe the ones that work up there, I don't see any of them here.
So we're ready for
a couple back there, but.
So we're going to go from our conversation.
We're going to go from tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to go tomorrow.
Scotty ordered oil, so we're going to get it chipped in the morning. And I know Max and all of them, we kind of put them out and had them parked out of the way and doing under trees and people that walk across there that we may get the floors cleaned after we get through because there's red spots on the floor, but when they're walking across the mud, but try to get it done. So hopefully we'll get that done tomorrow and be done with it.
Toby, I'd like to thank you. You taking the lead on this and really got after it.
Well, I've had some good help from Scotty and his guys. They really come up and stepped up and really pissed me in.
Which guy?
Me. Trace has helped me tremendously.
I got
you. Quattro
didn't get an invite. Imagine that.
But I know with me down to one guy right now, I mean, they have all stepped up and done.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
How is the work coming on the 402?
It's good, Ms. Johnson. Actually, we're close to signing off on the fire department commissioner being done. That they just got a little bit more cleanup to do and to put some of the more shelves up for the fire department down there. But it's for the most part, it's prepared, it's ready. But we were actually trying to make sure they got it ready before the November election, but we're not gonna have election down there. They're consolidated 402 and 401, so. But next year, it'll be ready to roll.
It looks ready from the road.
Yeah, it's gonna be an upgrade from what you had, for sure.
Does it upgrade?
Yes, it is. It really is.
It'll be wonderful.
Yeah, I think you'll be pleased with it.
Jackie, you have something?
Yes, I saw the HUD mentioned in the discussion. And of course, we've already discussed that. But I thought I'd just give you this for our follow-up.
Okay.
Regarding our written rules for the HUD. So if I may, and I printed you that. And I'm wondering when might they expect something done?
Well, I can tell you about number two, that's never going to happen again because we used to have people come down there for takeout and they would walk in there and get 20 different ones, and that became bad because we ran out of food down there for anybody that wanted to come, and we made that to come for people to come down, they don't want to come down there and eat down there and everything. As far as others, it's just going to be up to the commission if they want to talk to Dorothy about it, but and as far as the rules and everything, do we have set rules?
We've got a vision statement, I
believe. Yeah, I think we have a vision statement. Everything's about all we got, but I'll try to get that to you. See what we can do.
Anybody 60 and over and
not
type home,
that's
pretty much.
Yeah. Pretty much it. Yeah, because we ran in, that was a bad problem. Yeah. Bad problem.
Do what now?
It was a bad problem. People coming down there and taking food, getting boxes to go boxes.
Oh, yeah.
It was
hard. That's why it started that way. Yeah. We had to end that because there wasn't enough.
Yeah.
The people that showed up.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we specified one, if you cannot eat there for one reason or another, at least option one.
Yeah, but just like I said, you know, I hired Dorothy Young to be the operator, and she's kind of like I told you before, it's kind of like the library, and I'm not going to go over and tell Lisa at the library how to run the library.
But she's an employee. You're the boss.
Well, she's the employee too, and I'm over Lisa just like I am. Also. But
can you give me some idea of our only goal is not to send any of the seniors home hungry that come to eat there?
No, I think we made it a lot for a lot of reasons for them to come to the location. And it's not only just to eat, to socialize and everything else we have it for everything. And like I said before, this was a good thing that we started, and because you were one of the main complainers about ATCOG food, how awful it was, and it was awful.
I wasn't a complainer.
Yeah, I mean, but there was a bunch of them come up and talk to us about that. And it was horrible.
Well, I'm not speaking of number two, I'm speaking of number one. Our only goal is to have the people that come and eat be able to have a second plate if there is enough food until the food runs out, because we don't want to send them home hungry. Well, not half of them, but there are some of them I know personally, that is the only meal they get during the day. Is that too much to ask?
No, but you can also ask, you know, we went above and beyond to create that, to feed people. And you can continue taking steps. If we do that, then what's the next step? What's the next step? I mean, to the point of, we spent a lot of money.
What does that have to do, Judge?
I know that.
Sending people home, that's all we're asking.
Well, I mean, do you give them third or fourth or fifth? I mean,
until
the food is gone. And that's going to be up to Dorothy, and that's what I told you before. That's the reason we've hired Dorothy to run that down there. She does a great job for over five years. She's run a good program down there, and she's the boss. So you need to go talk to her first, and then she needs to come to us with questions. Unless these guys want to take that up with her also.
So I'd like to know what the commissioners feel about being
able
to
send people. You have the right to start on the public comment to say anything, and you can ask anything that you want. But that's not on the agenda. We're not going to talk about it today. Like I said, Dorothy's in charge there. when you get both in, come sit down and talk to me about it, and we'll discuss it with her, I think. But that should be between us.
But that shouldn't be my job, that should be your job to get her to come in.
That's right, and that's up to Dorothy, and I've already, she knows the way I feel about this. She runs it, and she does a darn good job, a really, really good job.
Well, that's, everybody has their own opinion.
Sure, and if you don't want to go down there, Kathy, don't go down there. I mean, we have opened it up. If you don't like it down there, do not go.
I'm just trying to see that seniors do not go home hungry, that's all we're asking.
And we feed them very well, we do. We feed them very, very well.
The portions are very small, and if they cannot eat one of the three little scoops, then they are going to go hungry.
Sure, and is that our responsibility to feed the whole county? I'm serious, but this is coming from a right-wing place. Why is it the government's position to do that? We did that out of goodness of our hearts, and there was a bunch of them living on this commission court that when we did do that. And we did it out of goodness of our hearts to feed people. And like I've said before, it seemed like it's never good enough. I mean, it's just we continue. We can sit here and argue about this all day, and I'm not going to. You know where I feel. You go talk to Dorothy. And get
it's not my place to talk to Dorothy.
Well, you're the one that was complaining. I mean, no, you're coming to talk to us.
The people
but I'm telling you, we hired her to run it. You talk to her, and then if she has a question, then she can talk to us. Okay? All right.
Thank you.
Next.
I'm looking at Darren.
Hold on.
Yeah. Do you want me to report on election?
Yes.
Okay. I can start accepting applications Saturday, November 8th for anybody who wants to run for an office or be reelected. You can either go online and download the application and then bring it to me along with your money. Or if you want, I can just contact me and I'll send it to you. It costs, remember? That's how we pay our people that work the polls, is the money you guys give me when you give me your application. I have to run and write checks out to all these people that go and work the polls. They don't do it for free, trust me. Anyway, the deadline is December 8th. But I'm going to request that if you are doing this, to get everything into me early. For the first time in 15 years, we're going to Wyoming to spend Thanksgiving with our children. And so I am going to be gone the last 2 weeks of November. I'm leaving the 19th. Well, I need everything in by the 19th. If for some reason you can't, I'll make arrangements for somebody to collect it for me, but please. And prior to seeing me, make sure you go see Brooke and get it on file.
Well, the campaign treasurer.
Yeah, the campaign treasurer. Make sure you go see her.
Actually, Yezzy.
Oh, Yezzy now. Yes. Don't do it. Okay, go see Yezzy. But do that before you come see me.
You have to have that on file before you can spend money.
Yeah.
Here's a question I have.
Yes.
Precinct 1.
Okay.
What do we need to do special? Do we need to contact, or Yezzy needs to contact us? Put on there a 2-year unexpired term.
Okay, if you remember correctly, I got a copy of the law and sent it to you, what the election law actually says. Because, unfortunately, Jerry passed away longer than 75 days prior to the close. No, the close of me accepting applications. We now, what will happen is, Precinct 1 will also be included, Commissioner for Precinct 1 will also be included on this ballot. On the primary ballot as a 2-year unexpired term. Then in the end of two, so this year we'll have three, precinct one, precinct two, and precinct four. 2 years from now, it'll go back the way it should be, where it'll just be precinct one and precinct three for a 4-year term. So if anybody's interested in if anybody's interested in running on any position, whether you think there's an incumbent or not, if you decide you want to challenge it, that everything's open. I have 8 precinct chair positions open. County chair position can be open for any of us. Anything that is getting anybody that has to be on the ballot this time, it's open. I just have to have an application. Or Glenda has to have an application, you have to be Democrat.
So we don't need to call a special election?
No.
Okay.
Well, that's why I went to my legal expert. I not only got the election law code that I sent you, I also went to my legal expert and said, okay, explain this to me so that I make sure I'm not misreading that election code. And that's exactly what he spelled out to me, was because of the timing that Jerry passed away prior to when the applications have to be in. You appointed Mr. Cash to fill in that interim, okay. But the rest of his term needs to now somebody be elected for that position as a 2-year unexpired term.
And I would just like to thank the two of you, the two party chairs, for the way that you work together as well as work with everybody else in the county. That does not happen, I'm sure, in a lot of counties across the state of Texas or the nation. But I commend the two of y'all for the work that y'all do.
Thank you. We've even exchanged apps before on the crocheting idea.
You got a little back tension?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not floating away, but that's okay. Anything else for me?
Charlie, the other thing I would say.
Okay, now, Scotty.
You're going to Wyoming, pack your lawn.
Scotty made it.
Yeah, I know.
I'll second.
No, I'll first out.
My brother! Somebody's going to hold the door down.
Yeah, I'll hold it.